Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And March Madness. How about it? It's March Madness everywhere. But, of course, we did see over the weekend, we saw Syracuse knock out Virginia. But we're seeing a lot of March Madness in the markets as well. And, of course, yesterday, really pretty quiet. You had what they call Easter Monday. Europe was closed. So nothing to get, you know, overly excited about. But what I really want to talk about today is, can you feel that the market's just getting ready to roll over? Now, I'm not looking here to call you and tell you that we're going to collapse. Okay? The mathematical probabilities, which really is what the market is anyways, indicate that that is coming. But one thing we can never do is try to time out the market. You know, there's no telling what is going to create the eventual market sell-off, market collapse, just like there's no reason or no way to tell what will cause the eventual rebound rally. And this is where I get A, pissed off, and B, irritated at the field in which I'm in, when innocent people like yourselves get misled by idiots. Okay, let me just put it out there. Idiots. You know, there's no reason to ever panic in the market if you are trading or investing correctly. Okay? Understand that you're going to have winners and losers. Okay? But understand if you're an investor, okay, that you should not be concerned about the day-to-day action of a market. Okay? You should never be in a state of fear or panic. A, because you should be hedged. Hint, hint, hint. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. But even if you're not hedged, okay, markets will rebound. We're going to see times of good and times of bad. But the key spot to investing is to exactly that. Invest what you can afford. Now, I've said this for the last, I don't know, couple of weeks or so, but the markets are getting very greedy. People are becoming extremely greedy. Now, what does that mean today? Today doesn't mean anything. Today it means that the markets, you know, are going to do what they're going to do, and maybe they go higher, maybe they don't go higher. But the greed factor is playing at full force. Now, we talk a lot about footprints and what the footprint means. And of course, the chart itself is a footprint. Okay, the chart itself does show you a path in which the market should go and typically will go. Now, again, there's no guarantee that every time is going to be right, nor is there any guarantee that we're always going to nail it. But the footprint is pretty solid. Okay, it gives you a pretty high probability of success. But the other footprints that we haven't talked about much, but now they're starting to come out to roost. Okay, if you tie in the greed factor, what we're seeing now, and the greed factor is people are borrowing all sorts of money to invest in a market that has, in my opinion, very little upside left. Now, again, it doesn't mean we're not going to go up. I'm not by any means. I like to make that clear because I'm naturally a little bit of bearish here anyways. But it doesn't mean that today the markets are going to end. It just means that the markets are kind of getting ready. They're kind of prepping. And this is where I always have a problem with the economists and the Federal Reserve, because they're idiots, because they don't get it and they can't see it. But what have we seen over the last couple of weeks that would say, hey, might give us a little bit of an indication that greed is in command and nothing else is? Well, let's see. The first thing we have to look at is that last week, we had a terrorist attack. The markets barely budged, didn't sell off. Nobody cared. Why? Because they were too busy counting their money. They're too busy chasing down yield, being greedy. Okay. Now, let's move the clock ahead and look at yesterday afternoon. Yesterday afternoon, there was a shooting in Washington. Now, you can take from that shooting what you want. Okay. You can say it might have been terrorist related. It might not have been. I don't think it was. The guy, from my understanding, it was a guy from Tennessee. But the market sold off a little bit, but immediately came roaring back. Now, those are little signs of little footprints that are yelling to you, hey, we're not ready to go down yet. Don't get short. It's not time. Okay. And if you think I'm kidding, watch the market action. This is why on this show, we always talk about market function, how the market works. Because understanding the workings of the market are more important than understanding anything else. Okay? Because if you understand what makes the market work, then you know that you have a much better chance to be successful in investing in that market. There are numerous reasons that will be given when, and I don't say if, but when the market finally does decide that it's going to sell off. And it, you know, if it would have sold off yesterday, it would have been, oh, well, the shooting took place, whatever. It's a bunch of bullshit. I don't buy it. I don't listen to it. But the market is really waiting for a trigger. Okay. Almost like, you know, you want to start a fire, you need a flint. The market is waiting for a flint to kind of get off its dead ass and start moving. Now, we can see with the number of buyers stepping in and the way that the market will not go down under any circumstances on any bit of bad news, that the markets are still being driven by the greedy little guys or gals that keep chasing it up. Now, don't kid yourself. The professionals know what's going on as well. And they're not going to sit there like a lump on a log saying, okay, I'm just going to keep selling to you. They're going to make you pay up for it. In fact, they're going to help bid with you a little bit and kind of pump it up with you. Now, I know that a lot of people don't understand what I just said, and I'm going to explain that when we come back from the break. But traders are smart. I mean, they get it. And this is what they do. You know, if you're in somebody's background, in somebody's playground, and you know, and they know what they're doing, well, they're going to hurt you. Okay. Because they know what's going on. It isn't hard to understand the formation of the market right now. Now, again, if you don't look at it from that perspective, okay, then you're making a mistake. And that's why I always try to help you understand that market formation is very important. Okay, where are we at, what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing becomes an extremely big issue to you, the individual. Because it will help you make a better decision. It will not always guarantee you a successful trade, but it will help you make a better decision. Okay. And that's really what we're doing, is we're making a series of decisions when it comes to trading. So if you follow my lead and make the proper decisions, more often than not, you will find yourself in a much better position. I'm going to step out here for a break, but before I do, make sure you join my friends, Scott Connor and Kevin Hinks over at Thinkorswim. They really do a great job at educating on their swim lessons every day. It's no cost to you. And you know that Bubba loves Thinkorswim platform. I use others, but I do love Thinkorswim. Also, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Bubba Average Joe. And go like my Facebook page, The Bubba Show. But more importantly, 200,000 people a month are now downloading The Bubba Show. Make yourself one of those. At libertytalk.fm. The Bubba Show. Download it. Get it. Listen to it. It's good. This is The Bubba Show. Top up onwards. I'm going to step out of a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Yeah. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, again, at Bubba Average Joe on Twitter. Come on, follow me. I need more followers. Anyways, welcome back. So, one more thing. Before I get too far involved, Thursday night, March 31st, at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to do a webinar for farmers only. Now, you can come if you're not a farmer, but it's designed around helping my friends, the farmers, because I'm tired of seeing you guys getting roasted, okay? And I want to make sure that you have a better handle and a better clue as to how to protect yourself, because if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to make sure that you guys understand how to protect. Because without you, we wouldn't be eating. We wouldn't have the country we have. So I want to make sure we take care of that. But anyways, so in the last segment, I said that traders are smart. And they are smart. Okay? You've heard the term spoofing. Spoofing is creating an imaginary market in something that convinces people, or the lay eye, or the lay person, that something's going on. But really what spoofing is really designed to trick and manipulate the unsuspecting. So what you'll see many times if you watch is you'll see some very big bids or some very big offer prices in a stock or in an option or in anything. And really what that should say to you, and what the message I want you to take away from this, is that that's a market maker or a professional saying, please buy in front of me because I really want to sell you, or please sell. I'm looking to be a buyer. You know, I talk about that a lot with the big banks, you know, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, how they manipulate the markets. And typically when they bring an announcement out to you, it means that they have already done their thing. Okay. In other words, when they said sell oil, they were already buying oil, in my opinion. I don't know that for factual, but I will bet on it. Okay. In fact, I did. So market makers and traders and big banks, what is their objective? Well, their objective is the same as yours. Okay. But their time horizons are usually a little bit faster because they've got other investors that they need to satisfy. So they need to make more money faster than you do. But they will create markets that are somewhat artificial, or in real terms, spoofing, and show you a market that looks so good, but then all of a sudden, the bottom falls out, or the top comes off either side. Okay. Now, and believe it or not, it can be done in any market, no matter how big it is. Now, it's done much more prevalent in penny stocks, because those are much more easily manipulated. But the big markets can be manipulated also. So you will see a herd of buyers coming in that appear to be. But in the meantime, that group is actually really selling, and they're helping you and helping relieve you of your capital. And that becomes something that becomes more concerned. So what you need to do for yourself is you need to follow the market footprint. You have to decide on whether or not the investment you're going to make today is a trade or it's an investment. If it is an investment, then you should not be too active with that investment. Investments are not meant to be active. Investments are meant to be exactly what they are, an investment in time and in money to benefit over a longer haul. Whereas trading, as the badger and I used to kid around about, was sometimes a long-term capital gain could have been 3 minutes. But what you want to focus on now is, what is this trade? Now, you don't want a trade to turn into an investment, because typically a trade that turns into an investment is a bad trade, and you're praying and hoping that it goes the right way. And on the other side of the coin is, you don't want an investment to turn into a trade, because typically that will mean you're cutting your profit margins too short. But remember this always, that around the corner is somebody who is competing against you for those same dollars. Okay. Now, you may not look at the stock market as a competitive arena, but it is. Now, it is an arena that more than one person can make money on the same stock. It is an arena that we can all benefit on over time, because buyers do continue to come into the market and push prices higher over time. Now, again, it doesn't mean every day. But understand that you are in a competitive business, and that nobody is there to hand me or you over free cash. So don't let and don't allow the markets to get the better of you, because you can get the better of the markets. Now, again, you're not going to clean up. You're not going to, you know, get rich on it, but you're going to give yourself a better investment. You're going to create a better investment property, and you're going to create a better investment model for yourself, which means that over time, you will compound your overall portfolio, which means over time, you will end up making more money and be able to achieve your goals. But you have to have goals to achieve them. You have to remain and stay disciplined to achieve the goals that you're looking to achieve. If you get crazy and you get carried away, you're going to end up in a crapper like everybody else. And that goes whether you're protecting your livestock, your grains, or your equity portfolio. At the end of the day, it's all about one thing: money. Now, farmers, as much as they may like farming, aren't growing the crops just because of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because that's their living, and they're going to make money. Okay? When you're investing, you're not doing it because you have money just to give away. You're doing it to make money at a later date. And when you're trading, obviously, you're trading more frequently, but you're trading to make money. So don't let the markets fool you. Okay, because there's enough bad trades out there without being fooled. Don't let the markets take advantage of you. Don't let yourself get trapped into a bad position. Understand exactly what you're looking for and exactly what your goals are and objectives are on any one particular trade. Now, again, I'm urging you to not let a trade turn into an investment, because I'm telling you that will be a trade that I know is a loser. Because you're trying to buy time. And there's an old saying that a lot of times your first loss is your best loss. And if you compound losses, you lose money. If you lose money, no dinner. No dinner, no soup for you. Okay. So, but you really have to focus on your surroundings and the competitive marketplace that you're in. Because believe it or not, in life, everything we do is a competition, okay? Whether it's a competition for the spouse, for the boyfriend, girlfriend, for the job, for the dinner, whatever it is, there's always a competition going on, whether you realize it or not. And there is no more competition than when it comes down to the money. The money, the money, the money. Now, again, I'm not telling you the money is the only thing. But the only people who say money doesn't buy happiness are the ones who got plenty, because they want you to feel better about yourself. Okay. At the end of the day, it costs money to live. It costs money to eat. And the reason that we invest and work is to make money. If we didn't need money, we wouldn't go to work. We wouldn't invest and we wouldn't care. But we do. So remember to A, protect your portfolio, protect your assets. Okay. Go to BubbaTrading.com. And get signed up for the hedge program. Okay. If you're not, it's your, if it's not, it's your fault. Okay. I'm not a hard selling guy, but I'm telling you this. Okay. If you're not hedging your portfolio, then you're making one of your bigger mistakes you'll ever make in your life. Because to be hedged and to have peace of mind, knowing that you're not going to lose all your dough, is a hell of a lot better than sweating it out and making a decision and selling at the bottom. So you go to BubbaTrading.com and you check out that hedge program, because we're starting a new one next week. And again, up to you. I got plenty. I got a long list of people that want to do it, so I'm not worried about it. But I'm telling you, for you, it's time. It's the best investment you'll ever make. Also, make sure that you download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. Okay, we're over 200,000. I'm going for three. Libertytalk.fm will get it to you. And do me a favor, follow me at Twitter, Bubba at Bubba Average Joe, and go like my Facebook page, The Bubba Show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back and talk to our buddy Mike McClone right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
You're so delicious.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the talented, the only, Mike McClone, my buddy, my analyst, the guy who knows more than anybody and really has the right pedigree in the background, because, again, you always get a lot more credit on this show if you've been a trader as well, because that's different than just being an analyst. What's up, Mr. McClone?
Hey, Todd. Well, that's a lot to live up to, knowing more than anybody. I certainly don't, but I try to do my best.
Well, your comprehension of the market is as top notch as anybody. That I will say. Do we know anymore? You know, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But your actual understanding the working of a market, I would say, is in the top 2% of the analyst population. That would be my opinion. Because again, there's one thing to being an economist and an analyst and knowing how to look at fundamental data, but there's another thing that understanding how the market actually works underneath it all. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's one thing that's really been bothering me, as you and I discuss a lot, is we're really not economists. In this case, just more strategists, more market people. And you always try to focus on what's the market trying to tell us, how we interpret it. And one thing I've got, a chart up I have right in front of me right now that I really find disconcerting, this chart of the Russell 2000, which is the small caps, or the IWM, which is the ETF that tracks it. And we're basically at the lows for last year. And that shouldn't be the case. If our economy is doing okay, small caps, which don't really have any issues with the dollar strength and don't export a lot, but the small caps should be doing better, and they have been doing the better throughout the entire rally, but that has been since the last year, and they've been doing poorly, indicating there's more of a problem. And if they're doing, if you've had such a recovery, how come we're still at the lows for last year?
Well, I agree. Look, I looked at, you know, it's funny, Mike, I looked at the Russell chart, and it's basically just a straight downtrend. I mean, it did bottom like the rest, and it's had one hell of a rally, but it's one hell of a rally is right back to the bottom of last year, which is what you're saying. I also looked at the QQQ, which is basically just made a new lower high, which does not bode very well. But I think one of the biggest questions that I really want to ask you first, and to kind of set this up, is, as you know, last Tuesday we had a terrorist attack, and of course, I happened to have been up when it was happening. It just, for whatever known reason, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I saw it happen, and I saw the market start to sell, and I saw a quick blip down in the S&P. But by 9:30, the markets were already on their way back. And on Varney, I said, nobody cares. It's greed, and they don't care about the terrorist attack. The markets aren't ready to sell off yet. And so as you looked at last week's action, although we were down a little bit, broke a five-week winning streak. You would have thought, based on the data, based on the information, based on going into a holiday week, that the markets might have had quite a bit more pressure, and they really did not. What did you take away from all that?
I'm confused. I'm really impressed with how the market remained resilient. It did come off a little bit. Overall stock market, bond market did improve a little bit, and that really isn't much of a flight to quality to gold. And I think a lot of it's reflective of this week. It's the end of the quarter, end of the first quarter of the year, and it's the beginning of the new month. We have a massive amount of data this week. Come Friday, we have unemployment. We have all the end of the month, beginning of the month data. The market, I think, is looking forward to that, but I'm more afraid of more of the delayed reaction. So oftentimes when you have these really sharp moves that you say, when the market really moves on exogenous events like this, they often are great opportunities. It didn't give you much of that opportunity, just for a few hours. So I'm more worried about the ship turning and just trying to make it as difficult as possible for everybody else. So I don't really understand how the market held in there. And it's, obviously looking over that's in Europe. But one thing that's really happening is this also, I think, is indicative of what is happening with consumers. And you're seeing this a lot, is this is going to definitely cause global consumers, and certainly in Europe, to continue to retrench and, the stay home and not spend more. And that's still been showing up in the data. And I think that's part of the ship turning that I'm worried about. If this big ship is turning, then it's this bigger correction that we should all be worried about.
Well, Mike, let's look at this from a different point of view. You and I are on opposite sides of the Fed story. I mean, you're a supporter. I think they're shit. They stink. They just have no clue. But, I keep hearing data dependent. And of course, Bullard had to come out last week and open up his mouth again. And I don't get it, Mike. I have to tell you, honestly, first of all, I find it embarrassing that we have to have some Fed jackass come out every other day and talk about something. What happened to just keeping their mouth shut and doing their job? Because, what is the data going to be? The data dependency that they keep coming for does not exist. And they keep putting it off like it does exist and like it's going to magically all of a sudden appear. But it's not going to all of a sudden magically appear. So please explain. I mean, you study this. You've read Bernanke's book. You've done all this stuff. You're more open-minded to what's going on than I am. And I want you to explain to me and the listeners what they could possibly see this week, data dependency-wise. We got the jobs and we got all these things coming out. But what are they going to show us that could possibly change over the last 30 days?
Well, one thing I enjoy about the data dependency is I have to control my tendency to be a bit sarcastic, and that is, who isn't data dependent? Everybody, even our kids and their report cards are data dependent. Everybody's data dependent. We get that. But as you pointed out, there's only one really significant source of data. I mean, they're so minuscule, and that is these very, very backward-looking, lagging indicators, unemployment rate, and some of these core inflation readings that they think, oh, finally we're getting inflation. Those type of measures are very, not only they're very, very backward-looking and long-term, but they've been wrong for almost 8 years now. It's the forward-looking things that the rest of us are looking at, and I think they're just finally coming to terms. Now, Bullard is a notorious hawk. A lot of the latest Fed statement was they decided not to tighten, and they lightened up a little bit on their estimates for tightening this year, which was just natural. You and I have been talking about that for a while. But I think they're doing, in some ways, they're doing the prudent thing because they have to be cognizant of the fact that they are almost 96% responsible for this massive stock market rally from 2009 until now. Now, that's not my opinion. That was some prominent economists came out with that last few weeks. And you and I talked about that for a while. By virtue of QE3. And I think, looking back from the future, let's try to put ourselves in the future, they see this potential bubble they created, and they have to do everything they can to help buy time, I think. Meaning, if we don't get a sharp correction, that would be wonderful. That's what you and I are worried about, because the sharp mean reversion correction in the equity market would bring down so many different dominoes, and they need to still fight that battle, but also be concerned if we get that dream of inflation, which I still view as an actual dream. If we can, just look at these major statistics in this country. There's 50 million people on food stamps in this country, and it's never happened. That's almost 1/7 of the population. That's almost double it was before 2008. The average, you know, household income in this country hasn't changed in 15 years. We get it. The markets get it. The market sees what's happening. The market's taking out the tightening, but they don't. I think they're just starting to come around, and they're still playing economists. And economists are very much backward looking.
Well, you said the biggest oxymoron ever: sharp economists. I mean, there you go. I mean, they are not. Look, I'm going to say it, and I don't care. This is not Mike McClone. I'm giving him a disclaimer. Economists are ignorant. They have no clue. They couldn't find their ass with the whatever that saying is, because watching them work and watching them continue to talk about the same ridiculous information that has absolutely no meaning to any one human being in the world that's ever going to change anything is just sad and silly and stupid. But anyways, so Mr. McClung, sorry to.
I think you got a strong opinion on that one. There,
well, I'm really just tired of it. I mean, I honestly, it's just. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, right? I've been doing it for 36 years. And I've watched the likes of the Greenspan, who did nothing, who they made a big deal about with his briefcase, and then Bernanke. And I know you're a fan of those people. And again, I don't have any reason not to be a fan. But I just don't see anything that they've done that has led to real progress and to some growth of what we're really looking for. Yes, I've seen them manipulate the economy and put us in a position to reduce the value of our dollars. That I've seen, but I haven't seen anything that really has had any real meaning to me that I could put my fingers on and say, hey, that's really a great, you guys really did a good job there. I have not seen that. Now, if you can tell me something that I've missed, please do so before we go to the break.
Well, I read Bernanke's book. I'm a big fan of what they did during the crisis and after the crisis. And historically, I think they saved us from a pretty significant situation that we're now, unfortunately, but they gave us a bit of a free lunch with QE3. And that's the big thing I'm worried about now, is they're coming back from this period where we have to pay for the lunch. And I just look at year to date, the thing that we need to think about before we go on the break is the trend this year has been gold is up, U.S. bond prices are up, the U.S. dollar is down, and stock prices are unchanged to lower. Do we expect for the rest of this year and after this quarter for that trend to reverse or to accelerate? And to me, my biggest fear is that trend, which was starting to be, you know, beginning more this year, is more likely to accelerate.
Well, I wrote my blog for today, believe it or not, and I said that it's going to be an ugly year. The market is going to collapse. Now, it may not collapse this year, but it is. We are certainly on the verge of a major collapse, because again, this is where you and I differ a little bit, but you cannot continue to mask a problem, and by painting it with money that you don't have, that you create out of thin air like a magician, and that is eventually going to cause the bigger problem as I see it. But again, we'll see how it plays out. I can't predict when, because of course trying to time the exact market is an impossibility. But we are going to step out of here for a break. We are with my guy, Mike McClone. And again, I give him credit as being one of the number one analysts on the street because of his added ability to read the actual internals of the market, which is much more difficult, much more challenging. Make sure you download the Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be back after the break. The Bubba Show. I was proud. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with the number one analyst on the street from the Bubba Show perspective. Who actually, again, this is a very important point to understand, because not only do you have to understand the economics behind a market, but also how the market functions and what makes them work. And my man, Mr. Mike McClone, does understand it. All right, so you were talking about some stuff before the break that you want to cover, and there's some stuff I want to go over, but go ahead and finish your thought now about the things that are important to you coming into this year.
Right. Let's begin with think Q2, second quarter. The things that begin in this year, it's almost the exact same thing you might talked about at the end of last year. But I look at now, right now, the VIX, the volatility index, is running 14 or 15. That's the lowest it's been since near last year. It's extremely low. I expect it to mean revert and probably get to near 30, who knows. But at certain levels, you're supposed to buy, and certain levels, you're supposed to sell. Now, this is a level you're supposed to buy. So that implies more volatility. It seems quite low. I see gold is up on the year. I see U.S. dollar index, which wasn't supposed to happen, is down in the year. 10-year note yields weren't supposed to decline. They're down in the year, running 1.9%. My biggest situation remains the same. Where's the value? I don't see value in U.S. stocks at all. Fed's tightening, and the market's gone way too far too fast, so it needs to come back. But I still see a lot of good value in gold and silver. U.S. bond market, people say it's still a bubble, but you compare it to the rest of the world, and you watch the trends and deflationary trends, and as an ex-bond trader, I say thank you. I see that either staying the same, accelerating, U.S. bonds are still attractive. So my point from investors to think about going into Q2 and the rest of the year is stick with what's been working. And by the way, what's been working is really making our lives a little bit easier. We can sleep at night. We don't have to worry about all these crashes and these volatility. Bonds, gold, silver, cash. At least we'll see if we're proven wrong. We have to really be proven wrong. It'll take some time. And by the way, if we are, and the rest of the world, this whole country is doing much better off. We didn't have to pay for the free lunch. And at some point, that bill's got to come due, and I think it started coming due. Actually, it actually started coming due at the beginning of 2014. So if you really look at what I see as a bear market, I think it started then. The stock market, S&Ps are, you know, up 9% since then, so they haven't really gone down yet. But the key thing is the treasury bond markets. U.S. 10-year note treasuries are up since the end of 2013, since the beginning of 2014, up over 36%. And that's riskless security. Supposedly, you're going to get your money back guaranteed. Your only risk is inflation. To me, that's been the beginning of the bear market. It's just starting to accelerate. And by the way, I still use that as the best value. And if you've held these type of positions, you sure have nowhere near the fear, and you can sleep at night. I just expect that to continue. And I just don't think the stock market's gotten it yet, and I'm afraid it's going to. And by the way, it's been working. And this, the key thing is, that was not supposed to work. The bond market has not supposed to have been the best performer of the last 2-3 years. Virtually every single economist said, don't buy bonds. Every strategist said, don't buy bonds. The Fed's tightening, inflation's going up, and guess what? They've all been wrong. And at some point, they've got to throw in the towel, and I think most people haven't yet.
Well, listen, the bonds have only been in a bull market for 36 years. I mean, why would I expect that to change now? I mean, you know, you just said it. And you're making my case. As much as it kills you to make my case, the economists are idiots. They keep telling you that they're not the right place to be, but yet you've been on this show calling for this exact move for the last, I can't remember how long it's been you've been buying TLT. Almost every week. Once the NASDAQ hit 5,000, and we ain't been there since other than for 5 minutes, you've been saying every week you come on here, gold. Let's see, gold got down to 1050 or whatever it was. Here it is at 1300, 1250. Mike McClellan was a buyer. Silver, best value on the street. There's my silver upper. Bonds, TLT, buy. Why are they smarter than you?
Well, that's the thing. In many ways, they're smarter, and that comes to how you define smart. They probably can pass a test a lot better than I do. But one thing you and I learned day one in the pits, bottom line is what's on your statement. Are you making money or losing money? And who cares how smart you are? If you're making money, sorry, but this is a capitalist system, that's all that matters. And I think, sure, as far as passing tests and getting the right grades, I think that's key. They're probably smarter, but that's sometimes the problem with really smart people. They don't think like traders do, like strategists. And this is one thing that I really enjoyed from Stanley Fisher recently. Quote he made, he's the vice chair. He said, well, you know, the test is the same from when we were young students. The problem is all the answers have changed. And I don't think your classic academics have really figured that out yet. They're getting it, but you and I, the strategists who are mark to mark every day, are getting it. And that's my point, that I have battles with, you know, some of my former colleagues and with economists is, if you were right about inflation, and if you are right, then TLT should not be the best performer over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years. It should not, but it is, it has been, and still continue to perform better. That's what the market's telling me. That's my interpretation of the market. I'm going to go with that until the bond market says they're inflation, and the bond market should be the first place where inflation should show up, because that's real money, real investors, and people looking forward.
Okay, now, I got to argue with you again. I don't know why you're making me do this, but, I mean,
I enjoy arguing with you. That's the best thing we can do for our viewers.
Economists are stupid.
Point counterpoint.
The economists are stupid. They have no clue. They have never picked the market right, ever. They have never been right on the economy, ever. They have never been right on inflation, ever. And they have always been well behind the curve, going back to at least Mr. Greenspan, that they've all they've done over the last 36 years is create one bubble after another and destroy the value of the dollar while doing absolutely nothing for the average guy in the street, because the average guy in the street is making significantly less money in percentage-wise than what he was making 30 years ago. But certainly, by just pure numbers, he's making 10 to 12% less than he was making just 6 years ago. So you tell me where these guys have been so good to take care of our economy and tell us that they know better. Why are they better? What makes them better?
There was a really good news story I listened to this weekend. It was an interview on a prominent news program about a person who's pointing out all the different people come on TV and give you analytical reviews and stuff, how they're no better than the average person. His point was clear. A lot of times they'll come back and say, oh, well, you know, I said it's likely we might have this, or there's a 30% chance we might have a recession if this happens. And they can come back and say, oh, yeah, we had a recession, I was right. But they weren't. And that's where I like to say no conditional statements. You know, I don't want to be a two-handed economist. This is what I think is going to happen. This is why. And here's what we need to do about it. And that's the main premise of you and me in this program. And economists can get away with that because they'll use some good analysis and things and they'll use a probability. But bottom line is we need to not be conditional. Focus on what we think is going to happen based on analysis. And this is why. And that's where I'm still in this camp. But, you know, it's just how you present it, and a lot of times they have the pedigrees that really help them get through. But it's, we need to focus on our listeners and what's the most important thing here. And the biggest fear remains the same. I would love to be, you come back to me a year from now and say, Mike, you are dead wrong. The stock market went up 25%, because I guarantee you, every one of us listeners, every one of us speakers will have better off lives. We'll have jobs will be plenty. Yeah. Our housing values will go up.
That won't happen.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
That ain't happening in my lifetime. And the economists are wrong. And they don't have to take a shot. And all they've done is create crap. And that's really what they've done. And I need about 75 blood pressure medicine and pills now, because you've got my. Fortunately, we're almost done, because there's like a volcano coming out of the top of my head when I hear you talk about these guys, because they're absolutely they have no idea what's going on in the world. They have no idea how to do anything when it comes to actually building the economy, because they had every opportunity to put this thing together and make it. We could have been in unbelievable shape right now, Mike. A couple of simple little things, we could have been rolling along and far outside of thinking about going back to 1937 and 1938 and watching another major collapse. But unfortunately, I got to go see my doctor, because I might drop here at the moment. This is my man, Mike McClone. Always has to get my blood curdling and get it going, but he is the best. He is a great analyst. And this is why we have him on all the time, because here's a guy that gets it from all sides and will take care of it. Mike, thanks as always. Appreciate having you on.
I love being on. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. We'll get you and join the over 200,000 people that are downloading the show every single month. We want you to be part of it. And also, give me a follow at Bubba Average Joe on Twitter. This has been the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Wake up, Maggie. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.